This is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to the UFO Files. And this week we're broadcasting from Harrah's on the Colorado River in Laughlin, Nevada. Big ancient mysteries conference going on. And we have Lynn Buchanan with us. And Lynn is no stranger to his expertise, his field of remote viewing. And Lynn, I got a few questions I want to find out about that. And first of all, thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And you're there in New Mexico, huh?
In Alamogordo, right? About 85 miles north of El Paso, Texas.
I know right where it is, the home of the atomic bomb.
Yeah, we glow at night. We don't need night lights.
So, anyway, we've heard discussions about remote viewing and the CIA using it and things, and other people that just got into this type of radio probably don't know what we're talking about at all. So, if you don't mind, we'll ask several basic questions and get right into it. First of all, how did you get into it?
Well, I was working at the U.S. Army field station in Augsburg, Germany, when a psychokinetic event happened, and it drew the attention of the head of the commanding general of the Intelligence and Security Command, who had formed a unit for remote viewing. He wanted me to come in and codify and start teaching methods for affecting enemy computers, destroying them first, and then learning how to control them to put information in and all that. Congress said that sounded like mind control, and they weren't going to fund it, and so they said, not no, but, you know, hell no, yeah. And so since General Stubblebine had already moved me to the remote viewing unit, then they needed another remote viewer, and I was there, so I learned remote viewing. Within about a year, I was the trainer of the unit, new incoming people.
So you grasped it fast and learned it and taught it, and it sounds like you're on the cutting edge of what we've heard about using remote viewing to take on the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah. That was one of our big topics. Actually, when I went in, it was during the Lebanese hostage crises and all that, and so that took most of our time for that year or two. And when I finished up later, it was during the, you know, during and right after the Gulf War, so that took up quite a bit of our time and energy. We actually worked for every branch of government and all five branches of military service.
Now, I want to get a picture, if I can, of what a remote viewing, lack of a better term, workstation looks like. I mean, maybe you could describe to us exactly what's involved here. I mean, how do you get into it? First of all, why don't we give a definition of remote viewing for everyone?
The formal definition is the mental access of energy distant in space and time without the use of logic, of cues, of other information, and so on. Basically, to watch a remote viewing session is not nearly as entertaining as watching grass grow. I mean, you have a person who is told, for example, the only thing you would be told is, this is project number 030702, question number 3, go find the answer. And with no more information than that, you are supposed to go find the answer to the task question, come back, write up a report, and give it to the customer.
This deals with the mental telepathy, or you're sitting there holding your forehead, or how does this work?
A lot of times you're holding your forehead saying, why did I join this job? No, they had developed a scientific technique, a standardized, very scientific technique, highly formulated out at Stanford Research Institute. They had studied the minds of psychics to find out what goes on during a real, honest psychic session. Not the general run-of-the-mill voodoo stuff, but, you know, a real psychic session from a real psychic. And they codified that so that it could be taught to anyone. And the government just did not want to use psychics. And as a result, they developed this methodology so that they could pull in just the dumbest grunt soldier off the battlefield, teach him the methodology, and have him go back and tell his commander where to point the guns and what's over the hill and all that. So it is a codified technology that lets you get in touch with your subconscious mind. One of the features of the subconscious mind is that it has direct contact with what's generally called the collective consciousness, and as a result, it tends to know things about everything. And so when you give a viewer, you know, this is question three, go find the answer, he goes through this process to open up a pathway to his subconscious mind, and then basically says, you know, describe information about question number three, and he starts getting all this information back. Many times at the end of a session, he'll have no idea what he has reported on, and he'll go back, they'll write up the report, send it back to the customer, and the customer can use that information to save military lives, to spy on the enemy, to know what's going on in the minds of foreign leaders, and so on.
Now, is there a commercial application to this as well?
Yeah, since we've been out of service, we've been developing all kinds of commercial applications. We do a lot of disaster projection for companies. You know, a company will have three, four choices of where to put their money for this coming fiscal year, and all. They can come to us and we can say, well, if you put it in this project, it's going to wind up in disaster. If you put it in this project, it's going to wind up good and you're going to make money, and so on. And then we can tell them why, because the controlled remote viewing that we used in the military is all about details. So we can not only just say, that's going to be good, this is going to be bad, but then we can go in and actually tell them why, and project where the disasters are going to happen and how they're going to happen and when.
So you're saying clients like maybe insurance companies or big corporations that have a factory or whatever might need your services?
Oh, yeah. And we're also developing methods for medical diagnostics. We're doing a lot of archaeological work. We do a lot of police work, finding missing children, finding missing evidence. When an investigator gets stuck, they'll have one question that they can't get the answer to by any other means. We'll give them that answer, and then we back off and let them solve the case.
Actually, this, you know, you hear everything these days like extreme fashions, extreme music, whatever. This sounds like extreme psychic ability. In other words, you refined it somewhat.
Yeah, they refined it an awful lot to the point where anyone off the street can be taught this. Now, when you get a natural psychic, generally they tend to have been psychic all their life. They've developed habits that they're comfortable with. And
let me guess, they probably don't do it as well.
Well, if they don't give up those habits, they don't. However, when we get a natural psychic with good talent, and they will actually give up those comfortable old chairs and will, you know, work the methodology, they turn out with such phenomenal results that it's just, it's unbelievable.
So it can be improved from the natural ability.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called controlled remote viewing simply because you're in total control. Most natural psychics are at the mercy of their talent. What we teach a person off the street to do is how to get in touch with their subconscious. When we find a natural psychic who's willing to learn this, we teach them how to have total control over their talent.
Now let me ask you a thing that first popped in my mind when you first started talking about this, and that was you obviously have some sort of company or avocation or something where you train people, right? Is that what you do now?
That's right. When the government effectively declassified the fact that remote viewing existed, I had been out of the service for several years. I was running a company called Problem Solutions Innovations. It was a data analysis company where I was working in the DC area to collect the data from all these big corporations and go into that data, analyze it, and find out information about the company. When they declassified the information and everybody found out that I had been the trainer for the unit, I started getting all these requests for training, and I realized, hey, I don't have to spend 2.5 hours driving to DC, work a 15-hour day, and then 2.5 hours driving home. I can stay home and start teaching this and make a living this way and provide for my family. So that's what I started doing.
you, Alamogordo, New Mexico, or wherever you are, it's not really required that you have to be right next to someplace.
Oh, no, it's not. In fact, we were right outside of D.C. at the time, and when we got the chance to get out of the D.C. area, we did. It's a totally unhealthy area.
Now, when someone is listening here, do you have classes or something, or is it mainly for corporations, or how do they get a hold of you?
We have special classes for corporations, but we also have for the general public. And if anyone's interested and they want to find out the scheduling for the classes, you can go to CRViewer.
Okay, CRViewer.com.
And it has a list of the classes and all the information you need and a schedule and how to contact us and everything else. CRViewer.com.
I've got to find out about remote viewing. It comes to my mind that you see a picture, but probably you don't. I'll find out in just a moment. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO Files. Lynn Buchanan is our guest, and we're talking about controlled remote viewing. And as far as controlled remote viewing is concerned, I guess the title pretty well, and the name of it pretty well describes it.
That's right, it does. It is a set of controls that let you set up a path of communications between your conscious and subconscious mind. One of the things that people find out is that if all you ever use that for is something like being psychic, you're wasting most of it. Because once you set up a pathway of communications with your subconscious, right there is your phone number when you were 2 years old, where you left your car keys, and all of the other information, such as why you do the things that you don't know why you do.
So in other words, your mind is just like a computer. You think you've deleted some of the stuff, but it's really there if you know how to find it.
That's right. There's an undelete key, right?
I've never really thought it. Now, why did they call it remote viewing? Do you literally see something, or you just feel it, or does a thought come into your head? How does it work?
Sometimes you see things, but it also uses the other senses. When you first start a controlled remote viewing session, you get vague ideas, and you may get a word that pops into your mind, and you report all of this. What happens is your subconscious says, uh-oh, that dummy's reporting everything I say. Well, maybe I'd better get serious. And the subconscious opens up this line of communications. And as that happens, you start seeing things almost as though you were daydreaming. And you may smell something that's at the target site, roses or, you know, garbage or donuts or whatever. And as you progress in the session, these impressions to your body, to your, you know, the sounds in your ears, the smells, the visuals get stronger and stronger. And there can come a point, now it's very rare, but there can come a point in controlled remote viewing where all of a sudden you look up from the table where you've got your writing material, you look up from the table and you think you're at the site. I mean, you see the sight, you smell it, you feel the wind on your face, you feel the heat, you hear the sounds, everything. You're not at the sight. Nobody there can sense you. Nobody can see you or anything. And yet, you can report from that point on as though you're actually there. But that's very rare.
Now, let's take a military situation, for instance. You're zeroing in on military operation. Can the other side tell that you're tapping into them at all?
No, this is one of the reasons why the government selected controlled remote viewing over all of the other psychic spying methods. In many of the psychic methods, just accessing a site mentally, dogs or cats or something like that at the site will suddenly alert and, you know, start staring off at a point in midair. And the Russians and other intelligence agencies aren't stupid. They have learned that this is an indicator that their secret information has just been compromised. that never happens with controlled remote viewing. And the reason the government wanted this method over the others is not only because you can get information about the enemy, but also because there's no way the enemy can ever know that they've been compromised, and so they don't change their plans.
So I can see the police application of this readily then, because the criminal, your target, would not really know.
That's right, yeah.
And there's no way you can block it, evidently, huh?
No, there's not. There is one way to block it, but you have to be a highly trained and highly experienced controlled remote viewer in order to do that. So as far as the general population is concerned, there's no way to block it. There is nothing in your life which is secret, you know, if somebody wants it and has this tool to get it.
So it's a whole lot like computers on the internet, and somebody has the know-how, they can go in there and find out whatever you needed to know.
That's right.
And or they need to know about you.
What they want to know about you, and you may never know. You may never know they have that information.
Do you get overly tired physically doing this? It sounds like it's pretty strenuous.
It is. It uses a lot of energy. I have always thought it was extremely unfair that it uses so much energy and doesn't burn any calories.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. So how long of a session could a fellow, you know, like yourself, do? A couple hours, or is that too long?
The normal session is generally one question only, and so it generally takes about an hour to do a session. You know, some radio people call me and they say, well, I've got something on my desk, tell me what it is. Well, that's not the way it works. It takes about an hour to do a normal session. Now, I have stayed in session for up to 10 hours at a time when lives depended on it, and we have saved a lot of lives doing that. But I was in session one time for 10 hours, and the next 5 days, people said I came to work, I went home, and I don't remember those 5 days. I was my mind was so fried.
So in other words, you were just a mush.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy, yeah.
Kind of like when you're overly fatigued, kind of like when I arrived in Laughlin yesterday.
Same here, we drove.
Yeah. Right, I did too, so it was a pretty tough trip. But, you know, the thing that I want to ask you, and it's not any of these trick questions like a lot of, you know, morning show guys do. That's not what I just want to get a clear picture on how you find the target. I mean it's like the internet. There's thousands, hundreds of millions of ways you could go, and there must be a secret way that you can home in on something. Do you have to have like some psychics have to have a piece of clothing or something? How do you target it?
Using the internet analogy, I would say the subconscious mind is kind of like Google. You type in what you want, and somehow it goes and finds it, and you never know how. This is one of the things that we learned about the subconscious mind. I always tell my students, you're smarter than you are. On a conscious level, we have all these limitations, and on the subconscious level, the subconscious mind is so fast and so smart that it's like you're carrying this super genius around with you all the time and never using them. And the very act of following the methodology we have for getting across to the subconscious mind, go find the answer to question number 3. And it does it. I have no idea how.
Yeah, in the first place, I don't think I could comprehend what question number 3 is. But I guess everybody really has this ability if you sit down, or is that true?
We haven't found anybody who can't do this. No, we have found a lot of people who won't do it. We have found a lot of people who won't do it for religious reasons or for fear, you know, cultural fear. We have also found that the person who lives, breathes, and sleeps psychic phenomena and voodoo and, you know, weird mysticism, they tend to believe everything they get. And as a result, they never weed out the imagination or the logic or anything. And so they won't follow the rules, and as a result, they don't do it. Also, good natural psychics are like, you know, you go to New Orleans and here's this jazz player who's a phenomenal jazz player and has never taken a lesson in his life, and all of a sudden you sit him down and say, okay, we're going to teach you how to play the scales now, you know. He'll be out of there. He's gone.
Yeah, good analogy. I certainly understand what you're saying. This, who discovered this? I mean, I guess human beings have always had this ability.
Yeah, and it's been known for a long time. A man named Ingo Swann, who lives in Manhattan, started putting things together a long time ago, things that were already known. He wanted to know basically how psychic phenomena works, and he looked at the history of the study of psychic phenomena and realized that after hundreds of years, nobody knew anything. So he said, okay, well, let's throw all that out and let's go to the sciences that do know something. So he went to psychiatry, psychology, even massage therapy, you know, where they bring memories up from the subconscious mind. And he started going through all the things that they know. He found the work of a man called René Warcalier back in the early 18th century. And he realized that your conscious mind can't talk to the subconscious, and probably never will. Your subconscious can't talk to the conscious, but they can both talk to the body. And as long as they can both talk to the body, you can make the body a translator.
So in other words, people who say, you know, listen to your body, it's telling you what it needs, they're right.
They're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be right back. This is an interesting subject, and I'm going to let our guest go in a minute because we're going to have a nice little dinner here at the festival, but I'm going to ask him to stay by one more segment because I've got to find out couple more things about this, and I have an email that I want to read that I've been saving for the right guy to ask, and I have him here in the studio, so we'll be right back. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO Files.